Welcome to the River of Life broadcast, a weekly ministry of South River Baptist. This year, we are studying the doctrine of godliness. Since we become like the object we worship, we must determine whether we worship the true God or an idol of our hearts and minds. Truly knowing God leads us to authentic, godly living. Grab your Bible to hear Pastor Chris Thompson share simple biblical truth so that you can become more like your Savior, Jesus.
Please grab your Bibles, turn with me over to the first epistle of Peter and chapter 2. Today we're going to start, for the next 8 sermons, we'll be talking about the spiritual disciplines, and we're studying the spiritual disciplines because hopefully they discipline us as disciples of Christ to be godly, and we should be growing in our faith, and that spiritual growth and development is brought about by practicing these spiritual disciplines. The disciplines, listen, those are activities that we do on a regular basis so that we can work out the salvation that God has worked in. Over in Philippians chapter 2, verses 14, 15, Paul says there, listen, that God has saved us. He's redeemed us. He's done something inside of us. Now, our responsibility is to work it out. And the disciplines are a way that we do that. And what happens as we do these spiritual disciplines, we're putting off the old ways of living and putting on new ways of living. And the central way to do that is through renewing our mind and taking everything captive to the knowledge of who God is and to the truth of His Word. And the important way to do that is to know this book right here that we hold in our hands. This is the primary, the most important spiritual discipline. Coupled with it is the one we'll look at next week, which is prayer. But intake of God's Word, reading God's Word, growing in our understanding of this book right here. Why? Why is this book so important? Well, see, if I don't understand and you don't understand and read what God says, how are we going to put into practice all the other disciplines that He's given us? God defines, listen, not only who He is and what He's like, but He also tells us who we are and what we should be like. And it's through the principles of His Word that we learn these spiritual disciplines that we should integrate into every aspect of our life. Now, this is the living Word. This book is alive. It will change your life if you and I will listen to what it says, hear it, heed it, hold on to it, apply it in our lives. In fact, this book that we hold right here in our hands, listen, this is just like Moses coming down from the Mount Sinai, listen, with the tablets of God, where God etched on there the 10 letters, the 10 commandments, as it says over in Exodus. Peter would say this later over in 1 Peter chapter 4. He would say, listen, anyone that teaches, anyone that preaches the word, you should do so as if you are sharing the oracles of God, what God spoke. And so when we stand, when we hear, when we listen to someone teach or preach the word of God, we need to realize, man, we have the living word of God right here. God has spoken to us. And our responsibility is to hear it and to heed it and to apply it in our lives. And the discipline of reading God's word is critical. It's more than just reading it, though. It's more than just saying, well, I opened the Bible and I heard God speak. We have a responsibility to think about it, to study it, or to meditate on it. Sometimes it's helpful to memorize it so that you can carry it with you wherever you might go. And then as we do that, to grow in our understanding and knowledge of Him. And if we neglect that, listen, I'm not going to know, you're not going to know how to be successful in the Christian life and to walk that life of faith, because I'm not going to have the power of God's word to help me in changing my life. This book has power in it. It is God breathed, as Paul would tell Timothy. In other words, stop and think about this moment. God took dirt, He took dust, He took this man, He formed him, He fashioned him, and then He breathed life into him, and Adam became a living being. In a similar way, we were dead in our trespasses and sin. And God breathed into us the Spirit of God, and this Spirit took the Word of God, which is God breathed, and He wrote it in our heart, and He changed us and changed our lives. Peter's going to emphasize that right there in chapter 1 as it leads into this section that we're going to read in just a moment. I need a daily, you need air every day to breathe, amen? I need air every day to breathe. I need to breathe in the Word of God every day, so that I can breathe out in my life godly living, a life that's pleasing to Him. This word gives me the power to overcome temptation and to overcome the power of the old nature within me. Praise God, we can be made new every day, sanctified, our life being changed as we take in the word and build our life on it and ask the Spirit of God, chisel it on my heart, write it there within, not on the tablets, not on hard tablets, write it on my heart. So that my heart is changed and my mind is changed. Because there's promises here that you can take God at His word. You can take God at His word and you can build your life on those promises. You can build your life on the precepts of what He says. If you will do this, then your soul will prosper. In fact, that's a choice everyone has to make. In fact, everyone who comes by faith has to believe God has spoken, that God has made a proposition. He has spoken truth. And as we do that, we hear God speak, and faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God. In order to grow in faith, I've got to hear the Word of God so that I can say, yes, that's who He is. I choose to believe that. I will take Him at His word. Yes, this is the promise He has made to me. I believe He'll keep His promise because He's true, and He has the power to make it happen, and I will believe in Him. And here's the precept that He has told me to live by. And so because He's a righteous King and a good shepherd, He's only going to guide me in the right paths. And so I'm going to apply that principle in my life and allow my life to be led by that precept, by that way of living. And see, what I have to do, what you have to do, listen, some people have grown up, and we haven't grown up growing in the Word and developing an appetite, a hunger for God's Word. You need to develop that taste so you can take a bite and savor every morsel that you eat here. Peter's going to say something that Paul would say and Moses would say about the Word of God and how we should be eating it, intaking it. You say, we have spiritual taste buds? Absolutely we do. Now, I know we have physical taste buds, amen? I do. I like to develop mine, amen? I have a fine appreciation for New York strip, seasoned medium well, and then banana pudding as the dessert, amen? That's good. Amen. We develop, in fact, you can take a class, a master class on how to cultivate your taste buds to enjoy what you eat. You have about 2,000 to 8,000 of those taste buds in your mouth, and they're always changing. And so you can learn to season your food and slowly so you don't oversalt it or you don't bury all the different layers of taste that are there. You can learn to toast spices in particular courses of meal and learn to recognize and appreciate the things that are sweet and sour, even bitter and savory. In fact, let's be honest. When you go to a restaurant and you go in there, not the chain restaurants, right? But when you go into the holes in a wall, right? You know what I'm talking about? The good food, right? Grease and everything, amen? Like thick, right? You go into those restaurants, I always want to know where those are in a town, right? Because those are the ones that you need to go. Because the moment you walk in the door, you just, oh yeah, I'm hungry. You probably are now too, amen? It should be this way spiritually in our life. I need to take a bite today, Pastor Chris. I need a taste for myself. I need to see that this morsel that we're gonna chew on here, that's good. That's good. Sometimes I like to refer to our little color pens and markers here that we use to underline our Bible as our knife and our fork, so we can just, let's cut it up. Let's see what's in here. Let's take a bite. And then take it with us throughout the week as it nourishes our soul. And in fact, so much so that we invite someone else to, hey, take a bite for yourself. Taste and see. God is good, and He is every day. Now, the way we experience that is by this word that we're going to read. It's there to nourish us. It's there for us to taste. And the amazing thing is there's so many flavors. There's so much that God wants to reveal about Himself so that you can experience these things. We can experience these things. We can share this with others. But the secret is this. I have to hear God speak and intake it. Listen, like all the other senses God has given us eyes to see and to see the hand of God move. God has given us ears to hear the voice of God as He speaks to us. He's given us the ability to feel and to touch. But the amazing thing is about the sense of taste is that that's something that we internalize. we bring within us, and it brings us nourishment. It does something for us. And so how do I cultivate that taste for God's word? How do I take the master class so that I learn to savor every bite, every morsel, and bring me wanting more? This is what we're going to read here in 1 Peter. So I want you to stand with me in honor of the word of the Lord. I'm in chapter 2. Hopefully you have a copy of the Bible. If you don't, grab one in front of you. And if you need a study Bible or a recommendation, please see myself or Pastor Scott or Pastor Alton. We'll recommend a good word for you or help you get one, because we want everyone. We're good Baptists. We love the book. So we want you to have a copy of it and open it every day. Listen to what Peter says. I'm only going to read the three verses here, and we'll back up into chapter 1 when we get started. But notice chapter 2. Therefore, that's why we have to back up. We got to find out what he was talking about before. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire, notice this, the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If indeed, or since, you have tasted that the Lord is gracious or good. Father, I pray everyone has taken a bite and seen that Jesus is good, that you are gracious, and that, Father, he satisfies the hunger of our souls. And if someone hasn't, then I pray that today would be the day that they take that step towards you in repentance and faith, and discover how great your love is towards them. And for those of us who've made that decision, that profession of faith, those of us that have repented and surrendered to your reign and your rule, and we call you Lord, Father, may we see today and examine our lives, Lord, and examine how much are we intaking your word. How serious are we about hearing God speak throughout the week? How much do we need to examine our lives, and where does change need to take place so that, Lord, we are each day not only taking in the word during a quiet time, but God, we're meditating on it, carrying it with us through the day so that it can govern and guide our lives. And I just pray now, Spirit of God, you inspired this book. Illumine our minds to understand it. You're our teacher. So, Lord, help me to teach by your Spirit. Help us to hear by your Spirit so that our lives can be changed. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. As I noted there, it says therefore. And so there's a therefore for a reason. And so we need to find out, what is it therefore? Well, in the context, what Peter was saying in chapter 1, he talked about the Word of God and obeying the truth through the Spirit in verse 22. That truth came through the Spirit by the Word of God that spoke to these Christians. It's the same truth that you and I heard. It hasn't changed. Truth never changes. It's always the same. It's eternal truth, because an eternal God speaks it, and an eternal God speaks his Word to us. That Spirit helps us understand it. And it's through that Word, that incorruptible seed, that seed that was planted in our hearts, that our lives were changed. And because of that eternal seed that was planted in our lives, we were saved. Now, I didn't just hear the gospel once and I'm saved and think that's enough, that's all the Word of God I need. No, I need that Word every day. And I need to develop a taste that I want and crave and desire it, kind of as he illustrates it here, like a baby. We don't stay as a baby. We'll emphasize that in just a little bit. But like a baby that craves that word, so should you and so should I. Now, one of the things that's amazing, which I think we're learning now about all the food that we eat, it's not all healthy. Have y'all noticed that? Yes. And what we realize, I mean, when they have to enrich bread, that means the bread wasn't rich enough with the vitamins we needed, okay? And so some of the foods that we now enrich, the problem is we have cultivated taste buds for unhealthy food, and that's all we want. And so we need nourishment. We're malnourished in some ways physically, and it's, we need to change our taste buds so that we'll eat, listen, I know students, broccoli, right? Okay? Children, we'll eat those things that are healthy for us. Even Brussels sprouts, okay? I'm sorry, I confess. I don't like them, all right? I just don't. Please, confession's good for the soul. We need to my bride's back there going, yummy. Okay, listen, we need to make certain that we don't have the right taste bud. Our taste buds haven't been eating and chewing on or in our mouth the wrong things. And that's why in verse 1 he says, listen, there's some things that we need to get out so that we can get the right things in. And the things that need to get out are things of the flesh and things of the heart, like malice and deceit and hypocrisy, envy and evil speaking. These things don't belong in our mouths. And if we'll get rid of those things, not only will that help us personally, it'll help us corporately as a body. He'll move to that section after this in chapter 2 of 1 Peter. He'll talk about a spiritual household that we are, a house of worship, for worshiping and praising the Lord and making much of Him and His Son Jesus. But I've got to get some things out of my mouth. I don't need that destroying my ability, listen, to taste some of the sweet and savory things of our God. The reason these things don't belong there is you stop and think, malice or malicious talk is nothing but backbiting and destructive. It's not consistent with a God who is one and invites us to be one like Him. Deceit is the absence of truth. And so when we're speaking deceptive ways or our mouth has that taste within it, that's not a reflection of the God who is truth or His Word who is truth. The truth that I need to be intaking into my life. Hypocrisy is saying one thing but doing another. And so if my life isn't consistent with what I'm practicing what we preach, right? If that's not consistent with us, then that's not going to enrich our lives. God wants us to be authentic, genuine. He wants truth in the innermost being. Well, that truth comes into my life. And so I need to make certain that I'm not embracing these ways of living, the old life. I need to put those away. Envy arises, listen, when I'm not content with who I am or what I have or my status, but I maybe speak in such a way that I'm dissatisfied with what someone else has and want to laud myself and make myself look better. Well, we want to make ourselves, listen, we're not about ourselves. We learned that last week. We want to think about others and put others first. It's what our God did. And all evil speaking, and literally what it says in the Greek is any speaking down. We don't want destructive speech because the things that are going to come in are going to be edifying and building us up. So I need to get that junk out of my mouth and make sure I then cultivate my taste buds in such a way that I'm in a position to receive the nourishment and nutrients that I need spiritually from the Lord. Peter's saying this because, listen, you need to realize you need speech that helps build community, not destructive to community. Because if we testify that our God is one and that we are one, I mean, we sang, we believe certain things about the Father, about the Son, about the Holy Spirit. I believe those things are true. I believe a day is coming. We're on a pilgrimage, and that's what Peter, 1 Peter's all about. It's a pilgrim priesthood that's marching to the throne of God, and we're worshipers all along the way, and we're inviting others who are worshiping the wrong things or the wrong ones to worship the one true God. But we model that and we demonstrate that as a corporate body and also individually. And so I don't want those bad tastes in my mouth. I don't want those bad words. I want the good things, and I need to cultivate that within my life. That's the spiritual discipline of reading the Word of God and hungering to hear what God says and longing to, I just want to take a bite, I just want to see. And we do that by craving the essential tastes like a baby does. Like the pure milk of the word that the baby would desire, a newborn. I mean, you imagine, oh, they're precious when they're born, amen? There's nothing like it. But I'm telling you, couple of hours early on, right? That baby gets ferocious, right? And it is longing for the pure milk that mama has to offer. It's craving it. It can't get enough. It's desiring it greatly. And until it gets it, it's screaming, yelling, satisfy my tummy, right? But the moment that baby latches on, and it begins to drink that milk, peace. So much so that next thing you know, they fall asleep drinking, right? It's amazing. That's how we're supposed to be as new believers, as like newborn babes, and always having that craving within us, I need to hear God speak. I need the truth. I need the purity. The word that's used here for pure milk is, the purity is the opposite of the word of deceit up in verse 1. In other words, I don't want something that's polluted. I want the truth. I want the real thing. You remember that commercial used to be advertisements, used to have a guy or a gal, and they'd have a white mustache, and it'd say, got milk, right? All our farmers up here in North Ardo County, they know what I'm talking about. Got milk, right? That's a spiritual picture for you and me. Got milk? Have you gotten it today? Have you longed for it, desired it? Did you come with a craving for it? I need that milk so that I can grow. It's just like milk in our physical lives. I mean, babies need that milk so those bones can grow. And in fact, they can't take anything else but milk. All the nutrients are right there in that milk that the whole body needs, not just the bones and the vitamin D that they need, but all that's there. And that's what we need. We need that from God, and God alone is the one who gives it in His Word. And I need to take that in regularly. Or as Paul would say over in Colossians, let the Word of God dwell richly in you. In fact, what's fascinating is how there's illustrations that Moses used, Paul uses, and Peter uses here about how the Word of God is like substances that we eat. Over in the Old Testament, in the book of Exodus, when Moses was writing there, he reminded God's people when they walked as pilgrims to the promised land, much like we're walking, listen, he told them, listen, you know, every day God faithfully gave you manna, right? That bread from heaven, it tasted like raisin cakes. It was so sweet and so good. I mean, you just couldn't get enough. And so what happened was, he said, listen, do you not realize God, when he led you through the wilderness, he was testing you. He was seeing, listen, whether you would trust him, whether you would rest in him, whether you would realize he's the faithful provider in your journey. And he was trying to teach you, though, that man doesn't live by bread alone, but by the Word of God. That's what we need to ingest. That's what we need to take in, what God says. And you need to develop that hunger. I got to have some. I need to hear the Word of God. You know, this is serious in this day and age, as Paul would say in the end times in 2 Timothy chapter 4. There's be a time when people don't want the pure milk of the Word. They just want their ears tickled. That's what they desired. And there are individuals, there are teachers who won't open the book, and they'll tell you fanciful stories and their own speculation, but they won't say this is what revelation is from God and how you're to live by faith based on the principles and precepts of the Word of God. Be on guard. Be aware of that. But examine your life today. Is that what I'm craving today? Do I want the good taste? Do I want what nourishes me? Do I want what will strengthen me, what will help me to grow? Not just did Moses say that over in the book of Exodus. Remember, it was Jesus who, when he was tempted by the devil tempted him. Remember, hey, take these stones right here. Just go ahead. You don't need to call on the Father and ask him to provide. Go ahead. Turn these things into biscuits. And Jesus said, don't you understand? Man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. How did Jesus overcome temptation? With the Word. There's power in the Word of God to help us to overcome temptations. You've got a temptation, something that causes you to stumble. Here's the important thing. Get some scripture in your soul. Develop a taste for it so that you can renew your mind, put off that old way of living, and put on a new way of thinking, because our mind is now oriented on truth. And I'm developing a hunger and a craving for it. Not just the bread that Moses would speak of. If you go over to Hebrews chapter 5, which the whole book of Hebrews is a warning, an exhortation to not just of the greatness of Jesus to every other thing, how he's better of everything in the Old Testament, but also there's a warning five times he'll say over and over again, be care that you don't turn away or rebel against what God has said, or not have faith and unite faith and obedience to what God says, or you drift away slowly from the Word of God and find yourself far from God. It's a warning. In fact, it's so much so that over in chapter 5, in verse 12, he says this, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he's only a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are full age, and that is those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. You see, as babes, we long for the milk, but there comes that day when we no longer are babies and we start digesting solid food. I mean, that's a joy as a parent. I mean, you move from nursing, and then all of a sudden you go to, you know, pureed carrots, right? And all those different things, and then some diced carrots, right? Or diced, aren't peas the best? And you get to give, and that baby begins to go, and then they start feeding themselves and wearing it too, amen? Right? Now, y'all don't look like you're wearing it today, all right? But we should have a hunger and a desire not to stay just with the milk. Now, we should have the craving like we have craving the milk, but we shouldn't stay on the milk. We should move towards the solid foods, right, where I don't just need the basic teachings, but I'm going deeper. This is, imagine, listen, when you go into those restaurants, and you know the good ones, where they season everything, even the bread, amen? And the olive oil that you, I'm hungry, April, all right? I'm really hungry. But it should be that way right now. Yeah, I know Jesus is the Savior of the world. Is that all there is? Oh, there's so much more. I know Jesus, listen, gave me grace, and it's through mercy and grace that I was saved. But what about the grace I need each day? What does it mean to find my identity in Christ? That would help me with any confusion that people have out there about who they are in this day and age. What would it mean to, listen, though I go through these trials and I go through the, as Jimmy and Sherwin sang for us, you know, in the fire and in the flood, is there any hope, any help? Can Jesus supply anything that we have need of? Yeah, he can. And it's reading this word and allowing, I got to taste this. This is some good stuff. So much so, you know what we do? Man, that wasn't just good enough for me. I'm going to give it to someone else. And I want to share this with someone else. That should be the craving, the desire that we have. Oh, feed me. And then what happens is that what he says here in verse 3, this is for those who indeed they've tasted that the Lord is gracious. Now, in the margin of your Bible, you want to write Psalm 34. And I know that, and you should know that as well, because what happens is later in chapter 3, in verse 10 down, he'll quote, actually, verses 12 through 16 from Psalm 34. But the part that he doesn't quote from Psalm 34, which is so critical to what he's saying here, is what David was writing about in Psalm 34. And he was talking to those who may be going through hardship and difficulties. And yet, even in the midst of that, we can praise God. We can trust in him and know that God is faithful to sustain us and supply for us all that we have need of. And in quoting Psalm 34, one of my favorite parts of Psalm 34, after David just has as a spell, celebrating God, blessing God, boasting in God, magnifying God, exalting him. He says, listen, I sought the Lord and he heard me. And he delivered me from all my fears. Hey, they looked to him and they were radiant and their faces were not ashamed. Even this poor old man, he cried out to the Lord and he heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around all those who fear him. Listen to this. Oh, taste and see that God is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. If indeed you've tasted, if indeed you've seen that God is gracious, that God is good, like a babe, crave more. There's plenty of him. How do I know that? I find it in the word. And I want to hear more. Tell me who you are. Reveal yourself to me. Now listen, he does that through the fire and through the flood. In the trials of life that we're going through, he reveals himself there too. Suffering is redemptive. It's intended to be that way. Look at Jesus. We don't always want to embrace that part of learning, and God teaching us. But it's there that you and I learn to grow our faith and trust in his promises. Yes, he'll keep his word. Yes, he's faithful to deliver. They're going as pilgrims walking in that day of persecution. They were dispersed in some ways because of their faith. It was an alien faith, a strange faith. The Romans, they didn't understand it. Those in the Roman Empire, they were like, what do you believe? How do you believe that? We just pinch incense to Caesar. Don't be surprised out there if they think we're strange. We're just aliens. Not illegal. Okay. All right. This isn't our home. We're marching through to Zion. Let's live like it. Let's build our life on what he says. Let's take him at his word and let's eat it and digest it and savor every morsel and every bite. And I want to turn it over in my mouth. God, tell me more. Reveal more about yourself. I want to crave you and find my satisfaction in you and realize just the power of mercy and grace that I need every day. Now see, as we do that, it's not just I read the Bible today, I'm good to go. No. Did I take it in? Turn it over. Chew it like a cow, right? Chewing cud, right? You got plenty of illustrations out there here in North Iredale, okay? All right? That's how it should be for us spiritually. And as we do that, listen, if we don't take it in and get all the nourishment and then, you know, swallow it and get it down in our bellies, it won't give us the nutrition that we need, the nourishment that we need. If we just take it in and then spit it out really quick, we'll get no nourishment. That we intake the word and the nourishment that God wants to give us is the grace and mercy that you and I need each and every day. When we take truth and we internalize it, and if we're struggling with a particular sin, I find a passage and I read it and I memorize it and I meditate on that truth. And I ask the Spirit of God to help me to change my desire and to renew my ways of thinking so that I find my satisfaction in what God says and who he is and what he's able to provide. And I ask the Lord to help me to apply that truth, to transform my life, put off these old ways. I want to put on new ways. I want that spiritual nourishment that I desperately need. Over in 2 Peter, listen, about the word, you know what he'll say? He'll say that God, listen, everything you and I need for life and godliness is found in the true knowledge of him, the true knowledge of Jesus. And where do I find the true knowledge of Jesus? In the book. That's why I got to read it. You want to know God? Know Jesus. You want to know Jesus? Know the word. He said the Old Testament, by the way, you search the scriptures diligently, these things point to me, he said. And in the New Testament, in fact, Peter would say that, listen, putting on par the Old Testament and the New Testament, as he said, listen, now the things Paul has written over in 2 Peter chapter 3, at the end he says, you know what, there's some things that Paul has written, man, they're sometimes hard to understand, but his epistles, you know what some people do, some teachers, they twist them, and they untaught and unstable people twist these things as they do the rest of the scriptures. He put Paul's epistles on the same level of the rest of the scriptures, the Old Testament. That means the Old Testament, the New Testament that we have right here, beloved, we got the Word of God. We've got the Word of the living God. Stop and think about that. I'm holding, just like Moses when he came down from Mount Sinai, the Word of the living God. Treasure it. Value it. Value the meal that you have right before you to eat and digest each and every day. Not just on Sunday for an hour. Oh no, I need this. Listen, learn this early, students. Learn this early in your spiritual journey, your walk of faith. This is critical to daily living. Have a plan, a regimen, a way that you work through, read through the Word of God, and then have a regimen where maybe you put the Word before you throughout the day in some way. Some people do it with their phones now. I mean, you get all this digital stuff, all this everything that's available there. Use it. Let's sanctify it. Amen. Let's use it in a way that enriches our lives, pointing us to Him through the Word.
Thank you for joining us today on the River of Life broadcast. If you want to know more about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, please call us at South River at 704-876-1520 or email us at hope@southriverbaptist.com. We also want to know how this program has blessed your life. Please send us a note and let us know you are listening and how our church family can pray for you. We invite you to join us here next Sunday or at our church location at 2659 South Chipley Ford Road in Statesville.